This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week, we're doing a little more catch-up as we're waiting for just to do our first impressions, Dragon Quest VI episode, which should be happening really soon. So that'll be fun to do.
Yeah, it should be really soon.
Yeah. I do want to say that I don't want to get too far into DQ6 today, but I did want to mention that I died in Dragon Quest VI.
Which I'm so excited about. And I know it sounds like real crappy to me, but I'm really excited that you died in a Dragon Quest game because it so rarely happens.
Yeah, I tend to grind and like I want to make sure that, you know, if I'm fighting a boss, I get through it. And the worst part was, to add insult to injury, is it was just like a random, just like mob encounter. Like, I don't even remember the exact combo of the enemies, but it was just one of those where it was like three of one type of enemy and two type of another type of enemy just there.
Yeah.
And it was because I got cocky. Like, I think I told you that I was going through it, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I've beat this game before. I've beat every Dragon Quest game. I know where I'm supposed to go. I know what I'm supposed to do here. This is still the early parts of the game. You know, shouldn't be a problem at all. And I was like, I knew my health was about half full, but I was like, you know, I'll save my medicinal herbs. I can spare them. And no, I died. And I was like, wow, all right then. And I think it really is, like, I mean, I've died in Dragon Quest games before, but I think this was, I don't remember dying in Dragon Quest VI the first time I played it, like, in at least in the main story. Like, I remember always making sure, like, my level and my classes and everything were really leveled up, and the, you know, my vocations were mastered when they need to be mastered and stuff like that. Like, I don't remember having a hard time with DQ6 at all. And so whenever I wiped, it was kind of brought me down a peg, I guess is the best way to say it.
Which is good. I mean, that kind of thing, when you've played a game so many times and played a series where you do get cocky and you do, like, just kind of go through the motions, it's nice to be, you know, put in your place every now and then, like, oh, there is more to this than I remembered. Like, I do have to pay attention as I'm playing through this. I'm guilty of it in games like this where I don't want to expend my resources. I'm the guy who does not want to spend my medicinal herbs or potions or anything like that, and will just try to squeak by, and then I get destroyed because of that. And I never use items that I should be using when I should be using them. Like, I've probably lost a lot of progress that I've had to redo over and over again because of stuff like that.
I'm really stingy with items in video games too. And I don't know why, because it's like there's plenty of games where it's like, I'll have plenty of money. I'll have like even here with DQ6, I had plenty of medicinal herbs. It's not like I was shorthanded. Like, I had already, like, you know, you run through the town and you break pots and barrels and you look in drawers, you just naturally get medicinal herbs. There's like the early on in Haggleton, there's the NPC that will sell you like six and something else for like 50 gold, which is a pretty good deal. And so it's like, you know, I have plenty in my inventory. I was just too cocky about it. And I'm the same way with, like you and I were talking about FF7 Rebirth last week. there was the same thing where in one of the, back when I was still playing it a lot, I was doing all the like open world quests in those regions and stuff. And there's one in the very first proto relic quest line, where you're going around with the bandits.
Oh,
you get to the part where you have to pay them 2,000 gil, right?
Uh-huh.
I told him no. I had like 25,000 gil. Like 2,000 gil was not going to be a big deal for me. This was not going to hurt me in any kind of way. I had plenty of gil. And I was like, no, and ran away. And I even like Googled to see if there was a way to get it without giving them 2,000 gil because I didn't want to give up 2,000 gil, even though to me it was nothing. And like I had no reason to be spending gil on anything. Like I had a lot because I'd been doing all the side quests and exploration type stuff, so I had a lot already. There's no reason to tell them no. I was just like, I don't want to do it. And then from what I could find, that's the only way to get it. So I was like, all right, whatever, here's 2,000 gil, enjoy it, and just wrapped that up because I'm the same way, like resources and money in video games, I'm just I'm very stingy with.
And you know, going back to a conversation you and I had the other day, so basically you acted like Jeff Bezos, where you didn't need the money, but you wouldn't give it to the people who did.
Ouch, that hurts. At least it's fictional. My frugalness has no like impact on real world human beings. It's just me not wanting to give bandits 2,000 gil, or me not wanting to use a medicinal herb to get the hero back up to full health, because I'm like, what if I need this later?
Yep. That's all he's doing with his billions and billions of dollars.
But, I mean, I'm kind of like that.
No, but really, I'm the same way when it comes to gil in games. But I might want to buy something in a little while. Why should I do this now?
I'm kind of like that in real life, though, too, where I'm just like I don't know. Like recently, you know, we had the sliding glass door out back, like got off the rail a little bit. And Grace was like, oh, yeah, okay, we really need to pay somebody to fix it. And I'm like, it's fine. You know, I like jury-rigged it a little bit. And she's like, okay, we have the money to like fix this. It's not going to be a big deal. And I'm just like, yeah, but why worry about it when I can do it right? Like, I'm like this in real life, too. And I don't know why. It's just, it's a complex.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the opposite. I'm like, let's spend some money. Let's do this. Is this frivolous? Yeah, it's fun. And generally, I'm fairly wasteful and need to get better about that.
You'd think we would even each other out. You'd think.
Yeah.
Maybe if we lived together, it would happen. But just as friends, no, it's not.
It's true. Jennifer does that, though. Like, she doesn't like to spend money. So she does even me out, or I would be broke right now. Like, just buying whatever I want. Like, she really is like, maybe you should think about this. I'm like, you're probably right. Maybe I don't need this $600 Lego set.
Yes. And I would have the same reaction as her. I'd be like, no, you don't need a $600 Lego set. The answer is no.
Did you know that they're going to be making, I believe, another Barad-dûr and Isengard? Or I think it's just Barad-dûr, but maybe with Isengard too for the new set.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that.
So you'll have a chance to finally get it.
The thing with that is that like back in the day, I really wanted the tower. Back in, I don't know, what was that, like 2011, something like that? Like, I bought up a lot of the Lord of the Rings Legos. Bought a bunch of Lord of the Rings Legos. I really wanted it because it was, like, so tall. It was Isengard. And it was, like, so tall. And I was like, ooh, and, you know, daddy need.
Right.
I think it was, like, $150, maybe $200 back in 2011. And that was too much for me. And that was why I never, like, pulled the trigger. And now, like, with the way Legos are, like, it's probably, like, it probably really is a $600 Lego set, so I doubt I'll get it now anyway. But that's cool that they're remaking them.
I did finally get mine that I waited on, the Ghost from Rebels. They made a new one for the Ahsoka show, and so I finally got the Ghost from Star Wars Lego set. I haven't put it together yet. It's in my closet. I look at it every day, though. And but that was the one. That was my Isengard that I never got. And then the price just skyrocketed to where it was like $900 or something like that. And it made me really sad. But so when they did a re-release, I was 100% grabbing it as soon as I could. But yeah, that kind of thing. It's like when I was not frivolous and got it, I regretted it. So as soon as I had the opportunity to, I was like, yeah, let's spend all of this money. but it really wasn't that bad. It wasn't absurdly expensive like some of them are. Like the $85 X-Men jet that has like 300 pieces in it.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm like, even now, like I felt kind of bad about buying some of the like X-Men omnibuses, which for people listening probably don't know this. I am Dragon Questing X-Men now, where instead of having my year where I play every Dragon Quest game in a single year, I'm just like devouring. I'm trying to get through the original, at least the original Uncanny X-Men run. So like starting with regular X-Men before it turned into Uncanny X-Men, going up through issue 544. And then at the same time, I've also been reading just the latest like Krakoa stuff to keep up with it. And all the stuff in the middle, right, I haven't been too concerned about yet. So that's my goal. So I've been naturally having to buy books and things like that. So it has been costly, but it's like the, honestly, the one thing I think I'm enjoying this year. And so I'm just like, whatever, I'm having a good time with it right now. And reading it. So I'm just doing that. Now it's kind of funny because I can very vividly remember, like, I think towards the end of last year, we were talking about like our most anticipated games. I was talking about how I was looking forward to Wolverine, but I didn't really have a connection to X-Men. And then now I'm like, X-Men, yeah.
And now you're so excited for it, I bet. Like, I know I am. Like, I'm really excited for
it all started with my kids saw the X-Men animated show, like the 90s one, showed up on Disney Plus just as like a you might also like kind of dealio, because they've been watching a lot of Spider-Man. I was like, oh yeah, my brother, you know, really liked this. Uncle Micah really liked this when we were kids, you know. If you want to watch it, I'll watch it with you. And so that would kind of be like our nightly ritual, you know. We would snuggle up and watch an X-Men episode or two or three.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of days passed and like Grace had gone somewhere and she was like getting home, and I was like, Grace, I think I really like this. Like, I know I wasn't into it very much as a kid, but like, this is really good. It's really cool. And she just kind of laughed and was like, oh, that's good. And then like sometime within a week, you know, I was like buying up comics, cause I was like, hey, I wonder, you know, how the old, what the old comics are like. And now I like them even more than the show. Like, reading those, and I'm like, there is a gap, a brief gap, but you know, they started in like 63 and then ran till, and then they went through until 75, I think. And then it went for, and then took a little break. And then I think it was like 80 or 81. So, so there is a gap, but like right now I'm up to 1988, I think. So okay. I think I'm nearing the 300 mark. Like I'm through, like, you know, Apocalypse has been introduced since like the Inferno stuff. With Mr. Sinister and the Goblin Queen and all of that stuff for the first time. So I don't know. Yeah, I've been enjoying it, and I really think that that's why, like, I haven't played too much video games this year. And I was talking about that. I can't remember if it was here or with you or where it was, but like compared to pretty much every year of the last like 10 years, like I think this is the least I've played any video games really. Like I did Granblue Fantasy Relink, which was amazing. At the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you talked so highly about that.
It was just an amazing game. And then I played halfway through FF7 Rebirth, did the Sandland demo. And, you know, I'm having a really great time with Dragon Quest VI. But, I mean, it's like almost April, and I have beaten one game the entire year. I mean, that's very unusual for me, just like, I mean, personally.
That is so unlike you.
Usually by April, I'm like, oh man, I've beaten a dozen games, and I'm going to have a dozen more finished by the end of the month.
And I'm like, I don't understand how you beat so many. I'm like, I can't do it. And then like this time you're like, I'm reading comics, and I'm really enjoying it, because when you have digital copies of the new ones that you sent it to me, like the new Peach Momoko,
Ultimate X-Men.
I couldn't remember which word it was, the Ultimate X-Men. And I really liked it, and am excited to see what's going on, because I love their style. I really love that watercolor painting for every.
Yeah, panel. It's really pretty. And speaking of pretty, did you know that there is a Sandland animated series coming out on Disney Plus?
Not until like 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah, me neither.
It was like 2 days ago that I saw that was like Akira Toriyama's latest or last
anime.
like anime series is getting, and I'm like, wait, what? I thought this was a game. Like, I thought there was a manga for it, but I didn't know there was a, I didn't know that there was a cartoon. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. I was wondering if I just totally missed it, or if it, maybe it was just a, like a brand new announcement a couple of days ago, because I feel like that's about when I heard about it too. Because like the, like I had fun with the demo. I mean, the demo is pretty, it's fairly bare bones. I mean, it's all about, like, you know, it lets you get used to how you explore and how you fight and the different, the three vehicles that lets you use.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had fun. I enjoyed it and everything. And so whenever I saw that it was a show too, I was like, oh wow, they're doing like the whole, they're basically doing like the whole Dragon Quest Die thing where it's like show, video game.
Yeah.
And everything. And so I was like, okay, this is cool. I could get behind this, this, all of this. And I've been recently rereading the Dragon Ball manga.
Mm-hmm.
After we were talking about it, after Akira Toriyama passed away and we did that whole episode about him, I was like, you know what? I should go reread the early Dragon Ball stuff again. So I went through and started rereading it. I think I'm up to like, it's the 3-in-1 books. So I'm on the 5th one of the 3-in-1 books. So I'm somewhere between like 13 and 15. And my volume count right now, and it only runs, the base Dragon Ball is only 16, and then what we call Dragon Ball Z over here is like 26, so like 42 total.
Okay.
So I'm getting near the end of the original Dragon Ball run again. It was funny, because in the Ask Toriyama in the back that I mentioned in our Toriyama episode, like, there was like a person asking about Dragon Quest 3, and so it was just kind of cool seeing that happen in real time when like Dragon Quest 3 was a new game and people were like very hungry for information on it, and he's like, I've already got to play it and it's really good. And
it was so funny when you sent me that. I loved that. Like, was it when, aren't you jealous or something like that, that he said to them?
It was, yeah, the person was talking about how they, like, are a student. And could he hold off releasing Dragon Quest III until exams were over, because he had exams. And he was like, I'm an adult and don't have exams anymore. Bet you're jealous.
Yeah, that was it. Bet you're jealous. Where it was, like, that's the kind of thing that I love seeing in old, like, comics and novels. Anything that has like reader submissions and seeing how they were actually interacting with the fans back then, because it's such a different dynamic than there is now online. And so I love that, you know, he had to think about it and actually went to print with Bet You're Jealous, where it's not just a momentary thought, you know, I'm tweeting back and it's like, ha ha, Bet You're Jealous. No, it went through like standards and like edits and everything to be laid out with something like that. So it's so great.
Yeah. Right now I'm splitting most of my time between rereading Dragon Ball and reading X-Men, and like in terms of timelines, like they're very similar, you know, like we're talking about mid to late 80s here. So it's like seeing a very popular manga in Japan versus a very popular comic in the States. And both of them have the old original like Q&As and stuff printed in them. Yeah. So it's just funny. Because both of them are very playful and kind of catty with the answers and stuff that they give and things like that. And so, I don't know, it's just kind of nice. It's kind of nice living in the late 80s right now.
Yeah.
I stopped
better
reading.
Better than the early 2020s.
Yeah, I stopped reading them back in 2024, and I'm like, aw. Rats.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, with video games, I forgot, I did play through a good chunk of the Suicide Squad game. Because of work.
Oh, you did?
Beginning of the year, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you had played it at all. I know you and I had talked a bunch about it, but I didn't know that you had actually played any of it.
It was fine. Like, there's a ton of stuff I don't like about it. Obviously, the live service, and like, you always have to be online, even for single player, and everything. But there's like, somewhere in there was a pretty decent story, and
yeah.
Like, the character interactions can get tiresome, but overall are pretty solid. Yeah. And, like, it could have been great, but as it is, it's kind of just meh. And I actually, one of the main reasons I quit is because I was playing it around lunch and just had a lot of stuff going on, like, personally, and just didn't have much time for games. Yeah. And because it was early at launch, like there were times when I was playing single player, you know, I was playing it and through the story single player, but I would get kicked because it's an online only game because their servers would mess up, because I assume because so many people were like playing, so they were having to stabilize their servers. And
so it wasn't even just verification, it was actually online through their servers. Like, you weren't like just verifying that, you know, you had this, kind of like you do with the Switch where it's like verifying you have the copy. Like, you actually have to be online, connected to their servers constantly.
You had to be, yes. You had to be online the whole time.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. And I saw where they were like, yeah, we're going to do an offline-only version later this year after launch. And I'm like, come on now. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, it's just, it's purely trying to, like, squeeze money out of people because of the in-your-face microtransactions. But yeah, I would get kicked. And the problem was that after it happened, like, the first time it happened, I was like, oh man, I got to restart this whole quest. That's annoying. And then the second time it happened, there was like a glitch where my map marker disappeared. And I was like, oh, my, you know, Metropolis is big. And I was like, oh, I don't remember where I'm supposed to go. And it's big and it all looks the same. And so it's just like, oh, wow, I have no clue where to go to even like get this quest reactivated again. And so finally figured it out because I was like, okay, playing this for work, need it for ideas. You know, need to get past this. It was like a... I was looking for, not Randall Flagg, what's his name? Randall Flagg is Stephen King. You know, Suicide Squad guy.
I don't even know.
Flagg, anyway. He was on a bus, and I was having to find the bus again, and it was just annoying. It was, like, pretty early in the game, like, chapter 2, I think.
Man.
You know, it happened a few more times, and every time it happened, it was like I lost whatever I was in the middle of doing. And I would have to fly back across the city to reactivate it. Or I'd be like right there at the end and then realize I have to redo the whole, you know, quest again. I was just like, no, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not doing that. And it was like, and I know it wasn't the internet on my end because the internet would be working fine. It was like, I'm sure they're stable now because I think nobody's playing it. Ha ha ha. But
yeah, I've not heard anybody mention it in so long.
Yeah. I think I looked at concurrent player numbers the other day because I keep tabs on that kind of stuff.
Right.
It was like, I think it was down from 13,000 on its launch month, which isn't very good, to like less than 1,000 right now, like a month out from launch.
Ooh.
So, you know, it wasn't very...
Oh, man.
Wasn't too impressive. I think a lot of the interest has died down because of the whole live service aspects and... got to be online for it and that kind of stuff. So it was just like whatever.
Man,
and like it's like I don't mind it. Like, you know, when you play FF14, it's like whatever. Yeah, it's an MMO. I expect to be online all the time.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, the servers are generally stable unless it's like around a new expansion. The servers are generally stable and everything, and it's just like, you know, I'm playing an MMO with other people. Like, that's what I signed up for. Whereas Suicide Squad, it's like, okay, you have a single player story, but I have to play it online and look at this ugly UI and you know, deal with all this other kind of live service-y things. And I just wasn't a fan of the way it was handled.
Yeah, I mean, that really sucks. That it didn't look great to me, but I was kind of hoping for it to be good, like for it to be better than it turned out to be. But it's not my kind of game at all. It's one that I could see myself picking up or trying if it's ever on a service that I'm subscribing to, just to give it a chance.
Yeah.
But other than that, like if I'm not on like Game Pass or PSN or PS Plus, I'm probably never going to do that.
Yeah. I don't know, but
like, I can't see paying for that game.
Speaking of FF14, Dawn Trail got a release date.
I got an email about it this morning from Square.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's one that I won't be picking up because I haven't finished the last ones, but it's I'm glad for everyone who plays it that it's going to be, you know, I hope it's good.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it's good. Everything I've seen of it looks really good. It has like FF9 stuff in it, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about Final Fantasy IX. I'm pretty excited for it. I was like, I came really close going back to way at the beginning of this episode. We're going full circle here about like being stingy and money.
Right.
When they announced like the collector's box for it. And it was already kind of like, because they're doing the same thing they did with Endwalker, where there's not a physical copy of the game, like the disc or anything. You're just you're paying for a box of goodies, essentially. And it was like $155, I think. And I was like, oh, that's actually considerably lower than most like collector's editions of FF14. That's not too bad. And a lot of times I'm really sad when I miss out on the art books from the collector's editions.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll look at it. So I went and I was afraid they were going to sell out. So I went ahead and like added it to cart and all that and was filling out the info, and it got to like, you know, it's the Square Enix store, so the shipping is always stupidly high. Which is the main reason why I never order anything directly from the store. It was like $20 shipping and then taxes and all that, and it went up from like $155 to like $187, and that was like, I was like, no, that's too much. Like, that's where, like, $155 I can talk myself into if I really try, but when it got up to $187, I was like, no, That's it for me, you know, like I can't do it. And then I was looking, I actually had the time since I was like, you know, in there now and wasn't too worried about selling out. I looked to see what all was in it, and there's not even an art book or anything in it this time. Like, it's a pretty sad collector's edition.
Oh.
And I was just like, nah, I'm good. I think I'm good. So I just didn't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, the art book is one of the main things that you get things like that for. And, like, that's, like, the main thing. I got the collector's edition or deluxe edition, I don't even remember, the one from Best Buy for Rebirth to get the extra steel book. But the art book in it's really cool. I really like looking through the art book that came with 7 Rebirth. And so I was really glad I picked it up because I missed out on Remake.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like the game, I'm glad I got the collector's edition of I'm glad I got the collector's edition regardless.
Yeah. It was also one of those things where I was like, you know what? Like, if it was Dragon Quest, I probably would have gone ahead, but I was like, and that was part of it.
Right.
Where I was like, okay, you know, yeah, I love FF14 a lot, but I was like, you know, that 3 remake's going to come out sometime, and 12 will be out one day, and presumably at least 12 will get a collector's edition. And I was like, you know, I'd rather save my $187 for Dragon Quest 12. And I was like, I don't really need to be buying all these big collector's editions all the time. And so it was kind of one of those things where I was just like, yeah, you know, like if 3 gets a collector's edition, like I don't want to be like, oh, I can't get 3 now because I bought that stupid Dontrell one that I didn't even want. And so that really kept me from pulling the trigger on it, because I'm still hoping come Dragon Quest Day, which is like what, about 2 months away from today, from the day we're recording, about 2 months to the day.
Yeah, it's in May, isn't it?
Yeah, into May. And so yeah, I think that I will probably, I'm hoping that, you know, 3 remake and 12 will get some updates, and maybe we'll get the 3 remake by the end of the year. Now that the Switch 2 is delayed, and if they're saving it as like a Switch 2 title, the Switch 2 is targeted a later time. Maybe we'll have to.
And I'm actually excited about that too, like that it got delayed, because I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to buy a new console and deal with that yet, and all new games and everything. So I'm actually glad that it's not coming out, because that's not where my energy has been focused. So when it comes out, I hope to be able to get really excited for it. That because I haven't been playing through a lot of games lately, and so when the Switch 2 actually does come out, I'm hoping that that I'll be able to like fully like invest myself in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to get into DQ6 a little further. I played it for just a little while last night, and then some stuff came up where I couldn't even get to a save where I could save it. But just running around in Haggleton was fun, getting started. And like, it's just pretty. I really like the way the graphics look on the 3DS, where I love the 2D version of it, the Super Famicom version, and the graphics and the pixel graphics there. But I'm very excited to be able to go through the 3DS version, because it is it may be the prettiest of the DS remakes. Like, it seems like it's more colorful than 4 or 5 were. But maybe that's just me having not played one of the 3DS versions in a long time.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the at least the art style and design for all three of the Zenithia trilogy games are pretty similar for 3DS. Like, they all have the same look to me. I think that maybe it's because DQ6 has, or at least seems like it has more like animation, so you get to see it a lot more in action, like with the dragon flying around,
right?
Or
okay,
different various cut scenes. Like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but anyway, I feel like there's more you see the graphics in action a lot more than you do in the other two games, and you know, they are like the games they are based on are older and stuff already, but DQ5 has some pretty good ones. Like, there's probably the most memorable one for me was when Bjorn the Behemoth comes out in DQ5. Like, that's a pretty cool moment to see on the in the remake, especially.
Yeah, taking advantage of the two screens is really cool looking.
Yeah, I like that part of it as well. Except for sometimes when the screen, the middle part, like, cuts out characters and I have to walk up a little bit more to see the characters in the shot. I'm like, Carver, where did you go? Come back.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Like, I've already come across that in 6 that I'd completely forgotten about how the two screens tie together, because it's been a while since I played 4.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. We're going to be starting those deep dive episodes on DQ6 soon, starting obviously with our first impressions episode, talking about the early portions of the games. Remember, if you want to talk to us, you can find us on Twitter or Blue Sky at Dragon Quest FM, and I'm over on those places at Dragon Questin.
And I'm on basically everything as at Professor Beej. And you can also go to patreon.com/DragonQuestFM and support the podcast.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, bye, y'all.